Now we move on to some conversation with the guest joining us who has been a prominent Republican leader in Modesto, Stanislaus County, and in the Assembly in California, but has recently written an opinion piece for Cal Matters saying that the GOP in California is dead. Kristen Olson is joining us now via telephone. Kristen, thanks for being on.
Sure. Good morning, Barry.
Yeah, really interesting when leaders of the party like yourself are stepping up to address this. And we've commented on the show, these numbers showing that Republican registration in the state is around 25%, no longer the second largest party decline to state, has more people now than the GOP. How did the Republicans in California get into this problem?
You know, it's been a long time coming. I and others have been warning people for years that if we don't start to adapt to California's changing demographics, if we don't start to reach out to non-traditional voting blocks and present real solutions to the challenges that are plaguing California, then we're ultimately going to see the decline of the party. And as I wrote, as you can imagine, it was a very sad and difficult thing for me to write. I spent my whole life in Republican politics, but as I wrote, we've not only seen the decline of the party at this point, I believe we've seen its total death. There are now going to be fewer Republicans serving in the California state legislature than there's been since the 1800s. Mm. So the first step is to acknowledge we have a very serious problem, and it's time to do something about it because Californians deserve public policy outcomes that are informed from different perspectives coming together. And we don't have that today.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that single party rule is a good thing no matter what that party is. You tend to agree
exactly
with that, right?
That's exactly right. I think the best policy outcomes and the delivering the best results for people are when two parties or more have to come together and craft that policy together. You know, whether the issue is housing or education, water, air quality, you know, the list of challenges in California go on, and they demand bipartisan solutions. But there's very little need. Actually, there's no need for bipartisanship today unless we have leaders who will exert that anyway in hopes of trying to unify our state when the country is just so very divided.
Yeah. So by making yourself irrelevant in certain ways, you become irrelevant in all ways as far as the voters are concerned.
That's right. And, you know, voters have to be given a reason to vote for you, right, to trust leaders with their vote. And as long as the Republican Party has been known more for being the party of no, there's no reason for them to cast their vote. They want to know what we stand for, what solutions we're going to offer. And while there's been some really strong individual Republican candidates who've done everything they can to rise above that and lead with solutions and lead by demonstrating they care about people in their daily struggles, it's really difficult for them to rise above what's become an increasingly toxic brand.
Yeah.
And I think it's time to hit reset and start over, and it may mean a movement of disenfranchised Republicans and disenfranchised Democrats and independent voters coming together to show a different path.
Mm-hmm. And the undercurrent of that is a third party or an independent run of some kind that changes things. Extremely difficult at the state level, it's difficult at the local level to run like a third-party candidacy. More difficult at the state level, seemingly impossible at the national level, except to be some kind of a spoiler. So what do you have in mind when you think about that, something that bridges the gap and that might be interesting to both, say, conservative Democrats and liberal Republicans, to put it one way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and before I get to that, it's not even so much about liberal or moderate Republicans versus conservative ones. I think it's more about the basic tenets of civility, truth-telling, and offering practical solutions. So sometimes I think it's a misnomer because I actually have heard from many conservative Republicans, self-professed conservative Republicans, interested in a more solution-oriented movement, which is interesting.
Yeah, and good to hear, honestly.
Yeah, it is good to hear. But as you say, it's no easy task to create a third party. It's yet to be seen whether this will be a movement or an actual third party. It's been tried and failed so many times in the past. I think what's different this time is we're at a unique time in history where the country is just so polarized and so divided, And there's a vast majority of people in the middle hungry for something different, who want their voices to be heard among the screaming on the right and the left. And I think the other difference is, in the past, usually when a third party's been attempted, it's been a single individual or a single issue that's been leading the movement. If this is going to be successful, it has to be a wide variety of current and former elected officials, people in communities coming together around a broad array of issues, almost having a platform, so that it's not a single issue, it's not a single individual, but it is truly a broad-based movement of people saying it is time for a better way in California that will restore the vibrancy of our state in all regions.
Is there an actual plan? Is there a series of steps? Are you meeting with anyone? Is there a coalition? Where are you at with this idea?
Yeah, there have been a number of different groups meeting for a while now, because there are so many different people who have similar ideas, right? So there will be a gathering of a lot of these people where we're going to, but we need to be thoughtful about it. We need to be data-driven. We need to do research. This can't just be a fly-by-night, overnight, we're going to try something different, because that will lead to a very quick failure. Mm-hmm. So this is a journey. It's not a race. But at the same time, there is a sense of urgency as we see our country being torn apart. And so, yes, there are many of us trying to see if something different could be done.
Yeah. Now, to be devil's advocate for a moment, I was saying a few minutes ago, I'm not sure that a single party rule is a good thing for California. And yet, someone listening might say, well, why not? Because what I have seen the Republicans bring forward, not just in California, but certainly nationally, is anti-immigrant hysteria and ideas about rolling back the gas tax increase when we need so much highway work done, and things like this that don't seem to make sense for a lot of people, mm-hmm. in this state particularly, and in large parts of the country. So how do you move forward from all of that negativity?
Yeah, great question. And it points to the fact that it's not just the numbers, the lack of Republicans serving in elected office in California that leads to no need for bipartisanship. It's also because of poorly crafted, ill-conceived solutions that have been put forward, which also begs for a different movement. And so that speaks to also why I said the Republican Party is simply not viable in California. It's not resonating with the things that Californians care about. Mm-hmm. Right? Immigration is the strength of the economy in many communities across our state, including mine. So we should be finding ways to encourage and increase legal immigration, providing an opportunity for people to experience the American dream right here in California. We should be encouraging that, not discouraging that. Our roads, we need real solutions to improving our roads. I mean, I could go on and on about solutions that we need that are alternatives to what the majority party, the more progressive party in our state, has presented. Because under that leadership, poverty's increased, homelessness has increased, the cost of housing has gone up. I mean, we're the most unaffordable state in the nation. So we need alternative proposals, but they have to be ones that resonate with Californians and then demonstrate care for people and the daily struggles that they're facing in our state.
Yeah. So you're sure you're a Republican now? Just checking.
I'm not sure. You know, I'll tell you, for the last couple of years, this has been a struggle of mine weekly, right? Do I need to become a no party preference?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm such an optimist. I want to believe things can get better, but it is hard.
Yeah.
For me personally, it is hard to remain a Republican these days.
You know, and a lot of people, and I've heard this across the country, people speaking out and saying, it's not me that has changed, it's my party that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's moved out from under me and gone, you know, become hostage to some very extreme interests way out on the far right fringe.
That's exactly right. I spent a lot of time on that about a year ago. Like, am I the one who changed, or did the party leave me? And I really was open to either, because as we mature and grow older, we do change, right? And yet, as I tested all these different things, I really reconciled myself to the fact that, no, I'm not the one who changed.
Yeah.
I still believe in the core principles of the party, but the party has moved so far away
mm-hmm.
from those principles of economic opportunity, freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, you know, the list of fiscal accountability, into one that's known for hate and bigotry and saying no about everything. And while there are plenty of leaders who try to rise above that, that's what the brand stands for. And the emails and texts and Facebook messages I've received over this last week since writing that op-ed have confirmed that's what people see as the party today. And that is not a party I want anything to do with.
Yeah. And if it were possible that one person could have affected the Republican Party to such a great degree over the last few years, it would be our president, Donald Trump. The president's always seen as the leader of his or her party once he or she is in office, right? So it's undeniable that Donald Trump's at the top of the Republican Party. He's coming to California tomorrow, we hear, to see the fire disaster in Butte County. Do you think that's a good thing that Donald Trump's coming to California? That's enough of a question. I'll leave it there.
I do think it's a good thing. You know, I think it's important that the president, regardless of who he or she is, demonstrates that they care enough about a state, even a state they don't have a lot of affection for, to show up in the midst of tragedy, right? And we are in the midst of tragedy. It's just truly heartbreaking to see what's going on right now and for the last few years. And the party's problems, the Republican Party's problems, started long before Trump. He didn't cause them. But I believe he certainly expedited them. He escalated the death of the party here. And for a while, I really thought California Republicans could show a different way and rise above the toxicity that Trump has brought. I no longer believe that's possible, right? That they have such a platform at the national level, certainly at the presidential level, that he really has tainted or destroyed, I would argue, the brand.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean every single one of the results, the policy results of his presidency have been bad? No, of course not. Regardless of who the president is, there's always things to point to that could be positive. You know, he's done some good things on water, on regulatory reform, but that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough. When you're trying to lead with hostility and outright lies at times, wildfires is a great example, right?
Yeah.
To criticize California for not properly managing our forests. Okay, there might be some truth to that, but timing matters. And the fact that the federal government, you know, manages over 50% of our forest land and
mm-hmm.
the state government manages very little of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, truth matters. Facts matter. And that has really hurt, I think, our American Republic, our constitutional democracy. But to get back to your question, yes, I think it's a good thing he's coming out and showing that he cares and wants to be a partner in helping us rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that people who have, as the saying goes, drunk the Kool-Aid over the last couple of years, and I know that there are uncounted numbers of members of the Republican Party elected officials who have felt like they had to fall in line or else what did they have? You know, if you leave, mm-hmm. if you leave that family, you have no family. So do you think that that what you're talking about is really starting to click and sink in with some people now that these midterm results have come through?
I think it is starting to. And yet I understand their perspective, right? I do feel like somebody without a political home right now, right? And people want to have a political home, a place of belonging. So I understand the sentiment, but I do think there are a growing number of people, I know there are, based on the feedback I've received, that say enough is enough. It is just time to do something different, regardless of what the personal cost may be in terms of reputation or
yeah.
influence or power, what have you. And I hope that there will be more over time.
I encourage you to go over to calmatters.org and read the opinion piece that our guest Kristen Olson wrote for them. Lays out some of the very specifics that we've been discussing here about the GOP in California being essentially dead and something new needs to arise. Kristen, thanks for your time today and thanks for your way of thinking about it. And it gives me a little bit of hope when people start talking about the truth mattering and time to leave some of these attitudes behind and move forward. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Barry. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, we'll stay in touch, okay?
Sounds good.
All righty. 7:24, and you are just moments away from an update on some of the basic things you might want to know on this Friday morning, the 16th of November. We will check on traffic, the markets, and all of that good stuff on the way. We will run through our local election results. The tallies have changed over the last couple of days. There have been some new ballots added the last 2 days. And so we'll see where we stand with the local election numbers in just a few minutes after the bottom of the hour news break. Later in the show today, it's our Book Talk program with Elena from Napa Book Mine. And let's see, what else did I want to check on right now? A reminder that the Scouting for Food program is taking place tomorrow. You're going to hear more about that at the bottom of the hour with Nate Campbell in our local news. We'll check on that for you shortly. And let's see. One other note was in regard to the big soccer match that's coming up. I'll give you an update on that after we hear some basics on that event.
Goal! Come out and watch some great international soccer when your hometown soccer team, Napa Valley 1839 Football Club, take on the reserves of Mexican powerhouse Club America on Saturday, November 17th at Memorial Stadium in Napa. Napa Valley 1839 Football Club features some of the best players in the Napa Valley and surrounding areas. Tickets are $20 if purchased before the 17th and $25 on the day of the match. Kickoff is at 7 with gates opening at 4:30. Don't miss all the goal action on Saturday at 7 p.m. at Memorial Stadium. The Napa Valley 1839 Football Club versus Club America Reserves. Great international soccer is in the valley. Visit NapaValley1839.com to get your tickets. That's NapaValley1839.com.
And the update here is that the location of that match has been changed because of the closure of Napa Valley Unified School District facilities. That game has been moved from Memorial Stadium to Justin Siena High School. So Saturday night's match with Napa Valley 1839, Justin Siena High School, the location now.
This holiday season, load up on the tech you want with the prices you've been waiting for at Nissan's year-end event. Hurry in for big holiday savings on our entire lineup featuring our most popular models like Altima, J.D. Power's highest-ranked midsize car in initial quality, plus Rogue and the powerful Titan, backed by America's best limited truck warranty. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com today.
For a limited time, get a low $199 per month lease on the 2018 Nissan Rogue.
But hurry, this event ends soon. Now the most exciting tech you own is in your driveway.
For well-qualified buyers, $44.99 initial payment for 36 months on 2018 Rogue. Excludes tax, title, and license. Call 1-888-858-8319 for limited warranty information and offer details. For J.D. Power 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Ends 12/3/18.
Dashing through the snow, to CVS we go. A $10 cash card for beauty brands and bows. Lights to dress the tree and stocking gifts galore. Candy cards and photo gifts and deals throughout the store. At CVS Pharmacy, we've got all the little things you need this holiday, like a $10 CVS cash card, yours when you spend $30 on select items. This week, Hallmark cards are buy three, get three extra bucks rewards. Plus, Ghirardelli chocolate is BOGO 50% off. Restrictions apply. See CVS.com/weeklyad for details.
The A&W in St. Helena is now serving fresh baked blueberry and cranberry orange scones for breakfast. Or try a signature buttermilk biscuit with sausage gravy or a half-pound breakfast burrito with a variety of hot or iced coffee drinks. Breakfast is served hot, fast, and fresh Monday through Friday, 6 to 11 a.m. and on Saturday and Sunday, 7 to 11 a.m. Stop by for a delicious quick breakfast only available at your local A&W in St. Helena.
Prices may vary. Tax extra.
728 Market Watch showing us that the Dow Jones 30 Industrials are up about 15 hundredths of a percentage point, 39 points. S&P 500 off a fraction right now. NASDAQ's down about 3/10 of a percent. And these declines lower, smaller declines than they were a little earlier today. So the trend is to the positive right now on Wall Street, at least since the open. Things have gotten a little bit better. Not much to talk about for the morning drive traffic today. The town seems very quiet. Schools are closed around the Bay Area, including Napa Valley Unified today. Public schools, K-12, and colleges around the Bay Area closed. Traffic demand greatly reduced. People are hunkering down and staying indoors. So go take a drive if you want, if you like the wide open highways. Really no problems to report in the North Bay currently. Our 7-day forecast holds out the hope for some rain next week, and we sure need it. The rain would clear the air, and unless we get some really appropriate moisture-laden winds from the ocean, other than that, it's rain that we need to clear the air. Maybe Wednesday. Maybe we see some rain then. Tuesday night into Wednesday is a chance of rain developing in the forecast. Until then, it's what you see is what you get. Hazy, smoky skies and cooler than normal temperatures. As I was saying, the meteorologists are saying that the haze and smoke in the air is functioning like a cloud cover, essentially, that's keeping the temperatures about 10 degrees below normal for this time of year. That's why our highs today won't even make 70, and through the weekend, mid-60s expected highs. So keep your fingers crossed for that chance of rain coming next Tuesday into Wednesday, and until then, we just have to hold on and do our best to get through this soupy air situation that we're dealing with. Latest check of our air quality index in the Napa area, 171, the unhealthy range, the red zone. In some areas, including actually the San Francisco Peninsula, all of Marin County, and out east into the Delta, above the 200 mark into the very unhealthy category, showing up purple on the maps. And if you go up to Sacramento, you'll get above 300 for the AQI, the hazardous range for folks in that area right now. So believe it or not, our air quality here is some of the best within 60 miles right now. That's your story at 7:31. Let's go to the news now.
I'm Nate Campbell, updating you on some stories we are following in the KVON newsroom and driving on our roads. A UPS driver is lucky to be alive this morning after crashing his big rig on 101 through Cotati early Wednesday morning. CHP on the scene.
If he had been knocked unconscious, we probably would have got to him too late. The first police officers got here within 4 minutes, but as far as the first fire trucks, 7-10 minutes later, it probably would have been too late based on how quickly that was completely engulfed. Luckily for us and for himself, obviously, the driver was able to get out. The
driver suffered a broken arm. He was hauling packages to Ukiah. The Boy Scouts Scouting for Food program, an annual gathering of food in Napa. This year impacted by the smoke, scouts unable to do what they normally do. Robert Reber.
We distribute over 20,000 flyers to each home here in Napa leading up to this food drive, and with the air quality as it has been, our scouts have been limited in their ability to get out and distribute those flyers.
The food drive is still on for tomorrow. Starting tonight, you can put non-perishable food on your doorstep, and the scouts will come by and pick it up. And tweets, posts, instas, and snaps from around the wine country. Napa Valley Wine Train tweeting their excitement for the holidays, and an article on winetrain.com called The 12 Days of Napa. And Chronicle wine writer Esther Mobley tweeting about Trump's tariffs and the effects on wines. She notes the EU tariff is between 11 cents and 29 cents per bottle. Bottle, not very high. Meanwhile, the new tariff and tax rate on U.S. wines imported to China is now at an incredible 79%. Napa in the North Bay, you are up to date. I'm Nate Campbell. That's the news.
Community Grapevine.
Dr. Christine Gross with the Napa Valley Unified School District Magnet Schools. We invite you to join over 2,500 magnet students at Bel Air Park, IB Communication and Media, Harvest, IB, Dual Immersion, Napa Junction, STEM, Pueblo Vista, Dual Immersion, Environmental Sciences, Willow, Arts Integration, Phillips, Leadership Engineering Art Design, apply October 1st through November 30th, NVUSD.org.
Tomorrow is the 121st big game on the college football scene, and this is the Sports Report with Ira C. Smith. It'll be at the California Memorial Stadium in Berkeley as the Cal Bears host the Stanford Cardinal, each team with a 6-4 record. Kickoff tomorrow is 4:30 in the afternoon, and both teams had wins last week. Stanford leads in the all-time big game series, 63-46 with 11 ties. Also in football, Monday night was to have been played in Mexico, the Monday night football game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs. But the NFL decided to change the site from Mexico because of poor conditions of the turf at Azteca Stadium back to the Los Angeles Coliseum. The Rams and the Chiefs each are 9-1. The Azteca officials changed the playing surface from natural grass to hybrid back in May. Now it's in bad shape due to its intense use. By the way, the game that is usually played in Mexico in the third weekend in November, that's when Mexicans celebrate the revolution's anniversary. Local basketball tonight, the Vintage Girls team is home to West. The Napa Boys team plays in Santa Rosa, and Prolific Prep will be playing in the Desert Showcase in Arizona this weekend. Optimus Youth signups tomorrow from 9 to 11 out at Napa Valley College for 9 through 12 year old, or grades boys, and for the girls, it's the 6th through 8th grade divisions that can sign up tomorrow. And it is Golden State Warriors back in action tomorrow night. They will be at Dallas in the second of a three-game swing through Texas. 5:30 airtime for the broadcast on KVON tomorrow night. San Jose Sharks will be home to St. Louis tomorrow night. Sacramento Kings tonight are at Memphis, and tomorrow night they will be at Houston.
Brighten your day the Napa Electric way. How about making your home, office, or business brighter, fresher, and more attractive and easier on the eyes? Well, you can by just contacting Napa Electric, Napa's complete lighting showroom and ceiling fan center. Napa Electric even provides lighting design plans. Open 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. weekdays. Napa Electric's on Brown Street, just north of Lincoln. Get a daily electrical tip by going to either Facebook or Twitter. Brighten your day the Napa Electric way.
Every moment is just for you at Graton Resort and Casino. Go all in on exciting gaming action or celebrate at 12 great restaurants, 6 bars and lounges, nightly entertainment, and more. Book your stay today at GratonResortCasino.com.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
It's that time of year, Luigi. Time for warm meals and warm memories. And Mary's seasonal specials, like potato skin pizza with pepper bacon, roasted red potatoes, fresh broccoli, and white cheddar cheese on Mary's homemade dough with ranch dressing. The rustic ham and cheese sandwich with freshly sliced Black Forest ham. And harvest lasagna with roasted vegetables, ricotta, mozzarella, and marinara sauce.
Takes me back to the good old days.
Luigi, you took us back to yesterday.
I know. Remember that Mary's barbecue chicken pizza we had for dinner?
Pepper bacon, jalapenos, and those little crispy red onions.
Will you look at me, Vincent? The Luigi of yesterday? I was adorable.
Okay, you look exactly the same.
Mary's seasonal specials, available for a limited time for dine-in, takeout, and delivery. Order online at MarysPizzaShack.com. Original recipes, original Shack. Mary's Pizza Shack.
You're listening to 1440 KVON, the voice of the Napa Valley. Stream us live anywhere by visiting kvon.com.
.738 now. Welcome back. It's the KVON Morning Show for Friday, November 16th. I'm Barry Martin. Thanks for tuning in today. We've got some breaking news from Washington, D.C. this morning. Get ready for the tweet storm, because the judge in the lawsuit that CNN pressed against the White House to return the press pass to their CNN reporter Jim Acosta, the judge has said that the White House must immediately return the White House press credentials of Jim Acosta. This is U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly announcing that decision just a few minutes ago. In his courtroom, CNN had asked that Acosta's credentials be returned while a lawsuit over the revocation continues. And so that's happening. It's important also to note that Judge Timothy Kelly is a Donald Trump appointee, and he has ordered the return of Acosta's press pass immediately. The lawsuit will proceed in the meantime. other items of interest, there's another thing I wanted to go to directly from that. Let me see if I can find it. The other developing story here today is the PG&E stock story. Headline from CNN right now, PG&E unlikely to go bankrupt because of wildfires. The shares in PG&E now rebounding strongly today. New hopes that the company will not go bankrupt if found to be liable for the Camp Fire. Of course, the cause is yet to be determined, but there are a lot of indicators that it was, once again, power lines starting this fire. The news of that earlier in the week caused PG&E stock to drop some 60%. Worries about financial resources being inadequate to cover the legal liabilities. There are two class action suits already filed in relation to the Camp Fire, but CPUC President Michael Picker made a statement suggesting that the state will work with PG&E to ensure they will not be permanently crippled by lawsuits. And Picker added that as a result of that new law, SB 901, signed by Governor Jerry Brown last year, the CPUC is now required to consider the utility's finances when determining the maximum amount it can pay without harming customers. Somebody somewhere has got to pay, but it may not be helpful to drive PG&E out of business, so we're really caught up in something, huh? Still trying to find our way. I can't imagine that when Senate Bill 901 was being worked on last year that anybody was thinking there were even more devastating fires to come. There must have been some thought that, yes, we're in this new abnormal. Yes, fires are getting worse. Yes, we have to address a lot of things, but still to think what we went through in 2017 was just a first act. And here we are almost to Thanksgiving into some of the worst fire conditions and fire danger that you could imagine. So there's a long way to go to figuring out compensation for losses, the appropriate blame to be placed in different directions. It's really complicated for us right now, isn't it? All right, we've made it to 7:42. Terrific bit of conversation there with Kristen Olson earlier in the hour. I'm glad we were able to get her on today. Leading us back into some election talk. And in this example, not just mere chitter-chatter, but some facts. Facts matter. The facts are we have numbers on the local races to relate to you. New numbers added again yesterday afternoon to many of these contests. And we're looking first now as we run through Napa County election results updated yesterday afternoon as ballots continue to be counted. First, looking at the Napa Valley College trustee races, one of these remains pretty darn close. And now with 51% of the votes counted in trustee area 2, it's clear that Jeff Dodd is going to continue to lead this vote count and to win this seat. He's now at 53.4% of the vote total, while Amy Martinson has 46.6. The margin of difference is just about 300 votes to the plus for Jeff Dodd, and that trend has shown his lead increasing on a percentage basis over the last two or three days as more votes were tallied. So it's pretty clear that Jeff Dodd is going to win the District 2 seat now. In District 3, the margin is pretty wide, 1,000 votes, in fact, between Beth Goff and Marianne Mancuso, just under 1,000. So that leaves Beth Goff with 62.6% of the vote and Marianne Mancuso with 37.4%. And that race has been clear in its outcome for quite a while now, as has the Area 4 race. Kyle Iverson, the lead now, 1,700 votes over Julio Soriano, 64.1% to 35.8%. Then moving on to American Canyon in the city council race there, Mark Joseph still way out in front and clearly going on to the council seat. And it now looks like David Oro, widening his lead over Pierre Washington, will be the number two vote getter. He's ahead by almost 300 votes over Pierre Washington. That's with 38% of the vote tallied. Moving on, the Calistoga City Council race, where Donald Williams was the top vote getter, still has a battle going on for the number two spot. They have almost 51% of the votes counted there. And Gary Krause has 498 to James Barnes' 476. A 22-vote margin is all that separates second and third place so far in the Calistoga Council race, yet to be determined there. The St. Helena Mayor's race has taken a turn. As of the latest reports, with 55% of the vote in now, Jeff Ellsworth moved into the lead by 20 votes over the incumbent Alan Galbraith, 50.5 to 49.5. That's a 20-vote difference in a very small community like that. 1,800 total votes counted so far. And again, that's 55%. So that's also still too close to call, seeing as how it swung from Galbraith being slightly ahead to Ellsworth now being slightly ahead. Yet to be determined. No change in the top three vote getters on the Napa City Council race, but there was a change down the list a little bit. Here's the way it's stacking up right now. Liz Alessio with about 2,000 votes more than Mary Luros, your top two vote getters. Liz Alessio with 30.8% and Mary Luros with just under 25% of the total votes. There you're one and two, and you're clearly far ahead. Hasn't even been close since the first batch of ballots, the one and two positions. The question was the rest of the contenders, how would they stack up? Well, the incumbent, Pete Mott, who is coming in with 13.2% of the vote, is now followed by Ricky Hurtado, who in the latest tallies jumped up ahead of Bernie Narvaez. Now, this is by about 125 votes, but Ricky Hurtado is now the fourth overall vote getter at 12.9%, and Bernie Narvaez drops to fifth with 12.6%. Small margin of difference, but notable. And then James Hinton at 5.6% consistently. Consistently there in the 5.5% range. Also worth pointing out, by the way, that's 53% of the votes counted now in this city council race, and it's all academic for quite a while, but it's interesting to watch the totals change a little. Worth pointing out that you have an issue at play here that comes up in vote for two scenarios. I've often heard people say, many races in the past, that they will only exercise the right to cast one of their ballots in a multi-candidate race where it's a vote for two scenario. Reason being that if you throw away that other vote rather than giving it to a second candidate, you enhance the potential for your favorite candidate to rise to the top. It's going to be interesting when we look at all of the votes cast, whether we'll be able to recognize that distinction, like how many people burned that second vote and didn't use it because they were laser focused on one particular candidate out of the six. It's a tactic. It's been used many times in two-person race or in a vote for two races, and especially when there are multiple candidates, it becomes even more effective. So later on, we have 100% in, we'll be able to dice those numbers up and see what it means. Anything else of interest? Well, we have our TOT increase measures, and it does appear now, as the vote continues, that American Canyon is going to pass the increase in the TOT. They're now up to 65.75%, and we need 66.6, right, to get to the two-thirds. American Canyon, the only municipality that so far has not reached the two-thirds threshold, but it looks like the trend now is going to get them there. That would mean universally the TOT would be increased by 1% in every municipality and in the county, so there would be consistency there. So that's the story on the local election tallies, including the most recent update that came late yesterday afternoon. And I don't know if there is, let me see if I can tell if there's another one. Yeah, we have another one coming out today. 4:30 is the scheduled time from County Elections Office. And while we're thinking about local stuff and thinking about county offices, it should be pointed out that the charges that were brought against John Tudor, who's currently focused on his role in the elections division, not on his assessor work. You know, John wears multiple hats. The charges that were brought against John Tudor out of the grand jury have been completely tossed out. And that's a story that may fall way to the bottom of the stack in terms of importance because of all the other things that are going on with the fires and everything else. It really shouldn't be. It shouldn't be ignored. People should recognize, should get the information, recognize that something really unnecessary happened in terms of these accusations being made against John Tudor. Clearly were motivated by some kind of personal vendettas or grudges or bad feelings. Somebody got their feelings hurt somewhere along the line, decided to get back at John Tudor for it. That was basically the way it appeared from the beginning. And not a lot of people necessarily wanted to be saying so publicly, perhaps. But there was an undercurrent that there's nothing here. And that's exactly what it's turned out to be. In fact, the court documents that were sent out yesterday indicate that very clearly. They were not able to provide any facts or evidence to support any of the claims that were being made. As was pointed out by John Tudor himself, it was a waste of time and money, and a significant amount of public money was wasted as a result of the unfounded accusations. This is an example of how something like the grand jury process, which is intended to be a good thing, can get off the rails. And in this case, that's clearly what happened. I don't know to what degree there was ego involved or some grandstanding or what exactly was going on. Somebody's going to be the big, the muckraker who dredges up, all the evil doings of people in office. You know, that's all well and good, and I believe in journalistic pursuit, and I believe in an uncorrupted local, state, and federal government. Such a thing is possible. We have to work toward it all the time, right? But this case never smelled right from the beginning, and the closer you looked at it, the less there was to see, and it's really kind of a shame that John Tudor had to take the knock on his reputation around it, and that, again, time and money that could have been spent in better ways was wasted on a wild goose chase. So that's put to bed, and it should be noted. So there you go. I noted it. 7:53 now at KVON. It's time for another little break here. We'll continue through the top of the hour with the news, and then we're into our book talk program today. I didn't even have a chance yet to get into any of the juicy, juicy stuff on Julian Assange. There's a lot to talk about there. We also have the incredible self-incrimination act of our president once again coming right out directly and stating his intention to obstruct justice. Guy never learns. We'll be able to get into that later in the 8 o'clock hour as we wrap things up for the week. Stay tuned. More to come right here on This Morning Show.
FBayHelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for